great trends that we've seen over time is the whole idea of online learning. I mean, if you think about distance education, we've been doing it for a number of years, you know, started with the correspondence packages that went out. Then we moved up through, I mean, I'm a child of distance learning from when I was in grade 9 with the correspondence package to then, you know, when I was a teacher up in rural Saskatchewan, where I had the correspondence package, but I could phone the instructor on Monday nights, through right up to today, where, you know, we are doing it online, synchronously and asynchronously, where we can bring people from around the world together to engage in our courses. But it's an interesting place to work in, because just because it's delivered via technology, you can't assume that everybody's comfortable working in that space. So I think as higher education institutions are evolving and growing their online components, and here in Workland we have a very large graduate program, and our undergraduate program is starting to grow their online components. I think we also have to think about not only investing in the infrastructure and, you know, how we're going to deliver the courses, but we really do have to think about how we orient students to online learning within these types of programs.
So let's talk about the students. Give me some idea of some of the positives for a student who'd be looking at a different delivery method than sitting in a traditional classroom.
Well, I think one of the great things about it is if you think about the online component of it, the asynchronous side of it, you can go online anytime. So it gives you that flexibility. So you can do your day job, you can put your family to sleep in the evening, and then afterwards you can go online and engage in your courses. You can pick it up at lunch hour, you can pick it up off your phone. So the notion of flexibility and accessibility are just amazing. I think the other piece that comes into this is that you don't have to uproot yourself or your family to come to an institution to take the courses. By doing that, you're also opening up the classroom to people from around the world. So when you take up educational topics and issues, it's just not the local context or perspective. You're bringing in perspectives from around the world, and we can do that through the technology. So again, like I said, whether it's the asynchronous, where I post now and somebody posts 2 hours later, or whether it's synchronously, where we're all online together, maybe for an hour or two, to engage in those kinds of conversations.
So this is something that obviously has a benefit to not just the students, but, you know, the individual student, but almost the collective as well. But I'm guessing there probably are some downsides to it too, some challenges. Can you talk about that?
I think, Betty, one of the biggest issues with that one is preparing students for the online environment. And I just don't mean the technology. I think there's some assumptions. Oh, well, you know, everybody uses technology, use Facebook and they do email, but that's for their social life, as opposed to the academic side of things. So one of the things to think about is, how are we using the technology to support the learning and the teaching? But the other thing we have to think about, especially in our graduate program, is, you know, these are adult learners. They might have been away from school for a number of years. The way that we approach the design of learning may be very different than what they experienced in the undergraduate program. So just even orienting them to be thinking about how we take up learning maybe in a constructivist or a social constructivist way, thinking about the power of maybe group work, which maybe they haven't had much experience with that in their other learning context, but then also stopping and thinking about what are some of those transferable skills they need to have to be successful in an online environment, such as time management and collaboration skills, and to collaborate at a distance where you're not actually meeting around a table, around the coffee table type of thing, but rather you're actually doing it at different times and different places with it.
So on the one hand, there's a benefit to that. On the other hand, sometimes that can be a detriment. Now, you've just started you're in the middle of a research project. Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Sure. The project's called Designing for Success, Developing an Online Student Orientation Program, and it was funded from the University of Calgary through a teaching and learning grant. And the whole focus behind it is, we had some data that we were looking at that gave us that indication that we need to think differently about how we're preparing our graduate students to come into these online programs. And so what we did in our work is we actually, you know, sought the literature out. We actually did a gap analysis where we actually gathered data here and found out, like, what's working and what's not. So we've had, you know, the 60 or 90 minute orientation session, everything you ever needed to know. And oh, by the way, 2 weeks from now, you're going to start your course. And as much as it's here's what you need to know, we realized that there are some issues and challenges with that. So the Designing for Success program started out to being 5 days. We've now grown it up to 10 days. But the idea behind it is to familiarize students with the online tools, but also online learning practices, to give them an opportunity to develop some of those strategies, to think about, oh, how would they do this when they get going in a course environment, but to also build some confidence so that when they start that first program, they're not really worried about what button do I click or what do I need to do or what makes a good post, those types of things. Rather, they're going into those courses feeling confident, feeling like they're prepared and ready to go.
And then they can focus on the work.
Then it becomes all about the content. Exactly. And making that move forward.
So what have you done so far?
So we've actually had 6 iterations of it. So we went from the gap analysis. We've done our build with it. So we advertise it. It's voluntary for people to participate in it. And then what we do is we ask people if they're part of the study to complete a survey, be involved in an interview. We then interview the people 6 months out and then a year after. And so what we want to do is we're getting information about the design of the online environment, of which we run people through the experience of the D2L environment, as well as the Adobe Connect. But it's a low stakes kind of environment because we're not, you know, dealing with deep content. Rather, we're using everyday types of items in the conversations, but they're learning about what makes a really good post, or let's talk about time management strategies, or what would be the nature of the assignments we would experience in the different kinds of courses we have. So what we've been doing is we're getting data back that's helping us with the design. So we're using design-based research approach. So that data always feeds back in around tweaking and modifying. So one of the things that came back to us is the students said, could we have more than 5 days? We said, sure, we can do that.
For this training.
For this orientation program. Mm-hmm. And then they said, could you leave it open after? Could you just leave it open so we can come back? And so we're finding they're coming back to use some of the resources, the materials that we have in that type of environment. We think that's terrific. What we're finding now as we're doing that 1 year out and interviews is really more about not about the navigation and the environment, but about the skills they picked up and how they're now actually using those and the ahas they're now having about what that orientation has meant for them in terms of how they're actually being very successful in their graduate programs. We also did a cohort for the undergrads. We did one of our cohorts there as well. And that was a really good information.
Now, was this for our community-based students?
Yes, for your community-based students. So this is exciting for us in that sense. So we've been thinking about, you know, modifications. We're seeing success around the confidence and the competence in that work. So when we think about sort of next steps in this work as we're sort of refining it again for the next series of iterations with it, we've thought about that real notion of differentiation. Adult learners come with a variety of experience and expertise, and we really have to honor that in this kind of environment where, you know, we have to appreciate maybe there are some people that are very novice and nervous around the technology, yet others might be very confident with the technology, but they want to know more about how you actually work in those graduate courses and what does it mean to be, in a program where we're going to have to do lots of collaboration or I'm going to have to write papers. Tell me more about that. So really honoring that spectrum. So thinking about that differentiation is a big piece. The other part for us is the instructor really plays a key role. The instructor has to be really confident, working in the technical environments, making troubleshooting of the technology easy, but also be able to talk about some strategies. Here's some skills that work, but also then being a mentor and being able to respond to questions like, well, in my program, what would be the assignments be like? And if you think about it, there's a variety of programs and they vary. So the instructor has to be knowledgeable mm-hmm. about the content of those mm-hmm. programs.
So from here, what happens with the research and the work?
Well, we're excited about this because this is a give back to the Workland School of Education from a research project. We're giving it back. And so we will, in the next few months, our research team will be meeting with the undergrad, the grad, and the International Foundations Program people to say, here's the orientation program we've designed. Here's what we've learned. Here's why it is working the way it is. Here's some recommendations for future steps. And we're going to turn those shells over to those 3 programs for them to then take it up and offer that as their orientation within their program. So they can then customize it, use it however they want to use it. But I think it's one of those things where our research team has had this experience. We've built something that's a good product, and now for others to appreciate and enjoy. So we're very grateful for the grant that we received and the experience. We've been presenting at various conferences. We've been writing about this work as well, and we're getting some good feedback on it. Because it is this thinking about it as more than a one-shot event. It's an experience, but it's about building confidence for our students so they really walk into our programs feeling successful, feeling ready to go.